Here we go.
Get ready, get set for the best movie and pop culture talk in the universe. It's the Good Brothers on Mercado Airwaves with your hosts, Alex Mercado and Mike Mercado.
Hello and welcome in, friends, to another episode of Best Podcast in the Midwest, in Chicago, in the universe, in the multiverse, in the Spider-Verse. I'm your host, Mike Mercado. I am going solo today as the good brother himself, Alex Mercado, is training the kids as they get ready in the midst of competition season. Of course, if you've seen the great series Cheer, you know exactly what they are going through right now. So send all your love and support to the awesome team and good brother Alex. But we have a jam-packed show anyway, so I will be taking care of each and every one of you. We go over the box office. Sonic dominates in the theaters. We also get to have a little fun with video game movies. We teased it last week. I go down the rabbit hole of what I would like to see hit the cinema and the streaming wars. We have some news, speaking of the streaming wars, as Sasha Banks is going to be in one of the more popular shows coming out. Eli Roth is making a movie. We got to talk about that. Some video game news, and of course, NXT and AEW, all that and much more on this episode of The Good Brothers. But before we get to all that, let's all go to the movies. At number one this weekend was Sonic the Hedgehog, opening up at $58 million. It was President's Day, so that number is going to go up just a tad bit, so keep your eyes on that. But an awesome performance for the Blue Hedgehog, and against all odds, it did its job. God bless it. And the good brother and I will have a review of it coming up in just a few episodes. So make sure you guys stick around for that. But shout out to Sonic the Hedgehog, to all the drama that was behind that. So the graphics team that made this movie, that had all that horrible, horrible backlash from the audience. And they went back, the studio went back, they redesigned him. I don't know if that had anything to do with the quality of film. It usually doesn't. But it just goes to show that hard work that TLC did pay off. So Sonic the Hedgehog at number one, which means Birds of Prey is number two, only making $17 million. So a big drop off for that movie, making its total gross in 2 weeks, I believe, it's just under $60 million. That means Sonic the Hedgehog has beaten that in 1 week. Think about that. Number three, Fantasy Island. And at four, The Photographs of two big bombs, but so be it. At five, Bad Boys for Life, sticking around. At six, 1917. And at seven, Parasite. That means that the Oscar rub has not gone away. How about Jumanji, The Next Level, at number eight? At number nine, Doolittle. And at number 10, is Downhill. So that is what we're looking at in the box office. And if you want to go to the theater this weekend, if you've already checked out Birds of Prey or Sonic or any of these other movies, this is what you could spend your money on this weekend. You could go see The Impractical Jokers, the movie, if that is something you're interested in. You could go see Bram's The Boy 2. I hated The Boy, the first one. So if you want to go check out part two, you go right ahead. How about The Call of the Wild? Harrison Ford and a CG dog. That should be very interesting. But that's what you could spend your money on at the movie theaters. But I want to talk a little bit about Sonic the Hedgehog at a 63% on Rotten Tomatoes, beating Birds of Prey, which is currently at a 78%. Really interested to see what this means moving forward. Does it have legs? Are we going to see more Sonic movies? Are we going to see more video game movies in this type of avenue? And it's kind of what me and the good brother were talking about last week on the Good Brothers, was what I would like to see moving forward. So if you've obviously been around the Good Brothers, especially around Halloween when we got the awesome Castlevania two seasons, I love that type of animation, especially for certain source material. I think Link, Zelda, that whole universe, Hyrule, would be perfect for that type of animation if you can't go full Lord of the Rings. I think Super Mario should be a feature-length film, but it should also be animated. I think it should be a rare occurrence where a video game becomes a live-action movie. I know you want to make it live action. I know that's kind of the holy grail of Hollywood. But the fact remains, you can make money, create franchise, and be taken serious if you do it correctly in an animated feature. If you go the Pixar route, we're seeing the great reviews for Onward with Tom Holland and Chris Pratt. And Pixar winning Oscars and all the feels between Up and WALL-E, and you just go down the list. You can make it emotional. you can make it part of people's childhood because it is all nostalgia and hit on the heartstrings. I would love to see something about Metroid with Samus. I think that's a fascinating, fun adventure. A woman bounty hunter in space. Apparently, just inspired by Ripley. We all know this. You know, so I think that would be really fun to see. You know, and especially in a world of like Captain Marvel's. I think having somebody like a Metroid franchise would be really fun. And you just keep going, you know, Donkey Kong, Kirby, Yoshi, Falco with F-Zero. How about Star Fox? So much potential to create streaming, to create content. And with Sonic, even though it being a Sega product and being with Paramount, it is a good sign. And it isn't like Warcraft or Assassin's Creed or Tomb Raider. These movies that are so expensive and you're getting these Academy Award nominated and winning actor and actresses. Opposed to just having fun and letting people be creative in their own way and showing love in their own way. So I love what we're seeing for Sonic, and I'm really hopeful that we get some fun stuff in the video game universe. And speaking of some other interesting news in the video game and movie universe, how about this? Eli Roth to direct the new Borderlands movie. This is according to Deadline. Eli Roth is set to direct a feature take on the 2K first-person shooter PC console game Borderlands for Lionsgate. Production will begin later this year. And Eli Roth, obviously one of the more quote-unquote controversial directors, was great in Inglourious Basterds. But here's the thing about Eli Roth. He's not always a home run. You think about Hostel, you think about The Green Inferno, you think about him in Inglourious Basterds. I think there's something there. I'm interested to see it. I think his type of grittiness, his type of filmmaking with this type of source material will be interesting to see. He's not the greatest director, but he is a professional director. So I think as long as they don't go overboard, I think it'll be an interesting thing to see. But coming off of Sonic the Hedgehog, it goes back into what we were just talking about. A big name director, right? A big property. They're going to go live action. You know they're going to go big gore. They're going to go big set pieces. And this movie's going to cost a lot of money. And this movie's going to have to make a lot of money. Opposed to maybe having an original idea, giving Eli Roth the keys and going that way. But now, even though I'm kind of excited to see what Eli Roth would bring to this type of source material, what he would do with somebody like Handsome Jack, I still am pretty pessimistic about it. Simply because it's a big project. You know, not everything has to be the Transformers, and that's what this is going to feel like. If you play the Borderlands games, they're these big, epic, funny, over-the-top video games. And that's what it's going to have to be in the movies. And you can't make Hostel, you know, as Borderlands. It's going to have to be something big. So after all that, talking about maybe being more conservative with your money, maybe allowing creativity to go a little bit further without having to be so bombastic. And it seems like they're going to go the opposite this way with Lionsgate. But Lionsgate would love a big hit, a big franchise. So we'll see how that plays out. But Eli Roth to direct the Borderlands movie. Some other interesting news, we find out that WWE superstar Sasha Banks will be a guest star in season 2 of The Mandalorian. This is according to Forbes. According to sources via the popular Mad Men Pro Wrestling podcast, none other than the WWE Sasha Banks will be a guest star in season 2 of The Mandalorian. And she's already shot her scenes for the new season, which will be out this coming October. So interesting that we do now know she is officially in The Mandalorian. It's always been these little talks over the last few weeks that she was going to be in it, but here we are. And I think it's kind of good for her. I always find it interesting. We are, you know, we'll talk about wrestling news in just a little bit, but I love seeing wrestlers get out of the game in that way to preserve their body and make money other ways. You know, we've seen with Disney that they're willing to bring in novice actors, put them in right positions, and try to get the best out of them. We've seen it with Gina Carano. She was one of my favorite parts of Mandalorian Season 1. And I think that that's what we're going to see with Sasha Banks. I'm super excited for her. I want to see what she got. I want to see if this means that we're going to see a lot more warrior-isms, a lot more tribal, if we're going to see a lot more factions, are we going to see more bounty hunters? Is she a Mandalorian? Is she just a bounty hunter? Is she part of the Empire? Fascinating when you see this type of casting. Is she going to even have a small role? Is she going to be like Roman Reigns in Hobbs and Shaw? Not too sure, but fascinating that we're going to see Sasha Banks in The Mandalorian. And if you have an itch for Star Wars, on Disney Plus, on Friday, February 21st, the final season of Clone Wars comes to the streaming wars. It is going to be a big moment for Star Wars fans, especially a lot of Star Wars fans my age and younger. I am not really a big Clone Wars fan. I hate the Clone War, Attack of the Clones. And the Clone Wars TV show, while cool, I never really got into it when it was on Cartoon Network. And I hated the Clone Wars movie. You know, I shouldn't even say hate, but like, I didn't like that movie. So I know, like, for example, good brother Alex is super excited to see Clone Wars come back. I know a lot of Star Wars fans are excited to see it come back. So we'll definitely have our reviews of the final season of the Clone Wars. I have to imagine they're going to do it the way they did with The Mandalorian. We're going to get one episode every week, or maybe they'll give us two or three episodes to start and then weekly moving forward. But super excited. It is going to be 12 new episodes. And we'll see what we got. But Dave Filoni's baby is coming to an end officially as the Clone Wars comes to an end on Disney Plus. It was another NXT TakeOver Classic as NXT took over Portland. And I had a hell of a time watching it. I don't think I have a bad thing to say about the pay-per-view. I love NXT. NXT TV is hit or miss. But damn, their takeovers never seem to fail. They always bring their A game. So let's go over just really fast some of the results and what we think is going to happen moving forward. Keith Lee defeated Dominik Dijakovic to retain his North American Championship. Hell of a match. Match of the night, in my opinion. Two big hosses doing their thing. Keith Lee is over. Dominik Dijakovic is really good. Unfortunate for his name that Vince is not going to like it, but hell of a match. Really excited to see what happens with Keith Lee. If he becomes the number one contender, if he becomes the guy by NXT Tampa Bay and NXT WrestleMania, I want to see what happens next. But hell of a match. My favorite match of the night. Keith Lee is still your NXT North American champion. Dakota Kai defeated Tegan Nox. Interesting, we saw, is it Martinez? I forgot what her name is, but we saw a weird ending. And it was explained to us the next week on NXT TV. But a good match, all in all. Good women's hardcore match. Can't complain. Shout out to all three women, but especially Dakota Kai and Tegan Nox. Finn Balor defeated Johnny Gargano. We'll get into Gargano in just a little bit, but Balor is a star. That's the one thing you see whenever he's on television is he is just a star. Pure and simple. But another great match, and maybe Finn Balor versus Keith Lee is something that they're working towards, or Finn Balor versus Adam Cole. Going to be interested to see. And a Killer Cross didn't show up, so sorry about that, guys, on Twitter. Rhea Ripley defeated Bianca Belair for the NXT Women's Championship, retaining her championship. And then Charlotte Flair makes her appearance on an NXT TakeOver, putting out both Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair. Really fun stuff. Super excited. She accepts Rhea Ripley's challenge for a match at WrestleMania. Then Bianca Belair the next week comes out and basically calls out both Charlotte and Rhea. Going to be interested to see if maybe on the middle road, you know, whatever that middle pay-per-view is towards WrestleMania, maybe Bianca and Charlotte get a match against each other. But going to be excited. Maybe all three at WrestleMania. At the very least, Rhea versus Charlotte is going to be a banger. The Broserweights, Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne, beat the Undisputed Era to win the NXT Tag Team Championships. Hell of a match again. The Bruiserweight. I can't believe Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne have such great chemistry. And those vignettes that they were doing leading up to TakeOver were phenomenal. Undisputed Era, they're like Teflon. Nothing really is ever going to hurt them. But what a great great match. What a great time to get the titles to the Broserweights. What a great time. It almost felt right to get the titles off of Undisputed Era. And this is a great team to do it with. So I thought it was a great match. I thought it was a lot of fun. Again, just a really fun pay-per-view. And finally, Adam Cole, baby, retains his NXT Championship after defeating Tommaso Ciampa thanks to Johnny Gargano. So we end the night with Undisputed Era only having one championship left. And then Johnny Gargano turning on Tommaso Ciampa. Then on the next NXT, Ciampa basically explains, I should have known better, which was everybody was thinking. Like, this is kind of weird. All of nowhere, Gargano is out here turning on him, and after they were a team, but Ciampa comes out next week and be like, I should have known better. Why is he doing all these things? So it looks like Ciampa versus Gargano at a NXT TakeOver WrestleMania weekend, like it was supposed to be last year, is happening this year. Adam Cole's next opponent, I'm not too sure, but he is the only champion left in the Undisputed Era. So going to be interesting to see if they play lean into that, if they play into that. But it doesn't seem so far. So I thought it was a great NXT TakeOver, though. I give it 5 out of 5. Great TakeOver. And speaking of great, got to give credit to AEW. Now, I know for usually we lean WWE and NXT. Got to be honest with you, at least for television, the last few AEWs have been really, really good, have been better than NXT. Now, while I think match for match, probably TakeOver was better than most things I've seen on AEW, but that's a TakeOver. Except for maybe Wardlow versus Cody in that cage match. What a great match. I hate cage matches. I don't think anybody really likes cage matches. But damn, it felt special. You got to give credit to where credit's due to AEW. It looked good. It had all the right emotion. It had a great payoff. And it leads to Revolution. Here in Chicago, between MJF and Cody. It's been a great storyline. It's been the best storyline. I like what they're doing with Mox and Jericho. I love Jeff Cobb. Darby Allin's over, period. This past episode of AEW Dynamite was phenomenal. From Atlanta, phenomenal show. I like Statlander. I think she's really good. Nyla Rose is a beast, so you got to give her credit for that. That is a legit story that they could go with. Of her just being so much bigger than the rest of the women. I liked what I saw from AEW. Damn it. I did not think it was going to be like that. At least when it first started. But shit, they've surprised me. Even the tag team. Even Kenny Omega. Because I like what they're doing with Hangman Page. Not the biggest Young Bucks fan, but damn. I want to see it. Let's see what happens. So, quite frankly, it's a great time to be a wrestling fan, my friends. It's a great time to be a wrestling fan. Finally, before we head out of here for the rest of the week, Nintendo had a Direct for the new Animal Crossing game, New Horizons. That's Animal Crossing New Horizons for the Nintendo Switch. It'll be coming out March the 20th, 2020. And here at the Good Brothers, and just in general, the Super Mercado Brothers, we are huge Animal Crossing fans. We got the original one for GameCube, spent ungodly amount of time playing that between the three of us. And obviously, leading into this summer where we are debuting a fresh new take of the Super Mercado Bros, I'm super excited for this game to come out. I can't wait to hear what the Good Brother thought about the Nintendo Direct, what he thinks about it in general as a legacy type of video game, what kind of memories it brings up for him. But for me, it just brings up great memories of being around the GameCube, talking to my brothers, you know, having competitions to see who had the best NES emulator in their Animal Crossing, you know, who had the Excite Bike and all these other games, who found the coolest cactus stuff and the great fish and all that awesome stuff, you know, at the perfect time of us three just playing GameCube together. So with this new system coming out in Animal Crossing, I can't wait to see what happens with the community and see how it's received. That'll do it for us on this episode of The Good Brothers. Thank you all so much for making us a part of your day. Make sure you guys are following us all over social media. The show is on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod, and the network is on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves. You can like the network on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. Search us on YouTube at Mercado Airwaves Network. You can play video games with us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network. Please give us a like, rate, review, and share us wherever you get your favorite podcasts at Mercado Airwaves. You can support us on any type of level on a different type of level at patreon.com/mercadoairwaves. Become a producer. Get our interviews ad-free or before anybody else. Enter to win prizes only at patreon.com/mercadoairwaves. The Good Brothers on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. The lovely Nicole Manchas on all social media platforms at Typing When Tipsy. I'm on Twitter at MikeMMedia and on Instagram at MikeMercadoMedia. For the Good Brother himself, Alex Mercado, I'm the Good Brother, Mike Mercado. We'll see you on the next episode of the Good Brothers here on the Mercado Airwaves Network.
Thanks for joining us here on the Good Brothers here on Mercado Airwaves.
Hey guys, Mike here from Mercado Airwaves. We want to thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. And if you want to see what we're up to outside of the station, please follow us all over social media. I'm on Twitter at MikeMMedia and on Instagram at MikeMercadoMedia. You can follow the Good Brother Alex Mercado on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. The lovely Nicole Manchas on all social media platforms at TypingWhenTipsy. You can follow the network on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves. Our pop culture show, The Good Brothers, on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod. Our true crime shows on Instagram at Murder Mysteries and More. And of course, like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. You can see all our videos on YouTube.com/MikeMercado2333 or by searching Mercado Airwaves Network. We play video games on Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network. And of course, you can support our network by finding a tier just for you, whether you want early access, you want to be part of polls, you want to win contest prizes by visiting us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. And we really appreciate it wherever you get your favorite podcast to like, rate, review, and share us. And please spread the word. For the Good Brother, Alex Mercado, for the lovely Nicole Mancha, I'm Mike Mercado. We wish you a happy, healthy holiday season and an awesome new year. Hey guys, Mike here from Mercado Airwaves. We want to thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. And if you want to see what we're up to outside of the station, please follow us all over social media. I'm on Twitter at MikeMMedia and on Instagram at MikeMercadoMedia. You can follow the Good Brother Alex Mercado on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. The lovely Nicole Manchas on all social media platforms at TypingWhenTipsy. You can follow the network on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves. Our pop culture show, The Good Brothers, on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod. Our true crime shows on Instagram at Murder Mysteries and More. And of course, like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. You can see all our videos on YouTube.com/MikeMercado2333 or by searching Mercado Airwaves Network. We play video games on Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network. And of course, you can support our network by finding a tier just for you, whether you want early access,
You want to be part of polls. You want to win contest prizes by visiting us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. And we really appreciate it. Wherever you get your favorite podcast, to like, rate, review, and share us. And please spread the word. For the good brother, Alex Mercado, for the lovely Nicole Mancha, I'm Mike Mercado. We wish you a happy, healthy holiday season and an awesome new year.